How are you today? Busy, I'm
Good.
assuming.
Yeah, we have a really big event this weekend, but it's a good problem to have.
Okay, yeah, no, that's great. Well, we'll just dive right in. Going out in restaurant wars, man. I mean, like, listen, you made it there, you and your brother made it there, but is it harder going out in restaurant wars? Easier? Like, talk to me about that.
I actually thought I was like, okay, I made it to this point. I feel good about it. Only, and
Yeah.
I know this is kind of a sore topic for Top Chef, only because of Philip Franklin Lee, when he went out on Top Chef
Yes.
in Restaurant Wars. But I feel like, I think the thing for me is like, I spent too much time helping everybody else and focusing on making sure the service went good because, after opening, four restaurants in real life, I knew exactly what I needed to do to make the restaurant operate. And obviously hindsight's 2020, but looking back, I'm like, what they grade you on is your dish. That's the
I know.
that's it is what it is. And it's like, for me, it's like, I remember like, obviously there was mixed emotions with a lot of people on, on Restaurant Wars, and kind of like I got it from both ends, right? I mean, I went to an event in LA and it was like, you shouldn't have went home. Seeger should have went home. You shouldn't have went home. Oscar should have went home. Like, it was just like so many things because so many people have different opinions. But at the end of the day, it's like, listen, I served inconsistent rice. It's the bottom line. Like, I'm gonna
Yeah.
own that. I'm gonna own that, and I'm gonna move on with my life. You know what I mean? Like, it's not the end of the world. And so, obviously, it's impossible to open a restaurant in 36 hours, and that's kind of the point. But in my eyes, from opening restaurants in real life, the menu is the menu because it's not going to be the same thing in 2 weeks, trust me. Like, there's like you make so many stick so many movements. And it's funny because the first restaurant I opened by myself, all I focused was on the food. I didn't focus on the systems, the SOPs, the making sure everybody got along, the culture, making sure the order was correct, things like this. So it's just funny watching the episode back. Like, the judges don't know what's going on behind scenes. They're only told they're o they only have the information that you tell them, and it's just really, it's actually hilarious. I'm really glad they put that clip in there of me and my brother because that was real. That was not fake. One of my biggest pet peeves as a chef is, for a cook, if they say they're ready for service, it's either you're ready or you're not ready. So, I did feel bad though because I kind of yelled at him, but I still
Listen.
love him.
You're right though. Like taking on the line cook, trying to focus on your dish, but you're also helping a ton of people out. I also looked it up because I was like, how often do the line cooks go home? I was like, I don't think it's that often, but it actually is pretty even. Did you want it? Were you comfortable in that role? Did you want to be in a different role?
Well, I wanted, so when we had, the whole Jen Seeger situation, I knew it was best if I was more of a team player. Obviously, who doesn't want to be the executive chef? You know what I
Right,
mean?
right.
Like, I mean, that's, of course, that's the King Kong role, right? Like, that's where we all, executive chef or general manager, I would have felt really comfortable with. But I knew because my brother and I would play the role of line cook so much better, right? And just because that was like the best move with the people that we had. And obviously I don't take anything back. I think it was really important that, hey, I was telling my brother, like, hey, we got to be the engine that could for this team, and I spent a lot of time prepping Oscar's this dish too, and if in the elimination I should have been more honest about that instead of just saying, no, that's Oscar's
Oh.
dish, because he, like, in all honesty, he made both salsas, but it took me 3.5 hours to wrap that beef really nice and then cryovac him and sous
Wow.
vide him and then pick him up during service. And I made sure it was a perfect dish, just like a good line cook. But I realized that, I should have done a second dish, and that would have been my
That's what
ticket
they
to
said.
success. Yeah, and listen, that's true. It is 100% true. I remember Seeger, when we were having the menu meeting, and Seeger was like, hey, I'll just own the second dish. I've already been to the graveyard and back. I don't mind if I get ixed. And I was thinking in my head, like, I should have done two desserts, and just called it, And so for me, there's, obviously there's a lot of things that, can happen. But, just like I tell my cooks, don't cry over spilled milk. You know what I mean? Like,
Listen,
and
yeah, tough competition.
yeah, it is what it is. Like, I tell people all the time, and I say this proudly, like, you don't go home on Top Chef for being a bad chef. You go on home,
No.
you go home for missing the time constraint, missing, not plating up enough, a couple of things. Like, it's an easy pick. And so it was like, I knew if we would have lost, I knew I would have been on the chopping block, you know?
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was gonna say it's also dependent on like timing. Like I was actually there for Restaurant Wars. I didn't eat at your restaurant. I and ate at the other one, and they actually had a few service issues. And I was like, "Oh, this isn't good." But
Yeah.
they didn't. The judges didn't experience that, right? And so
Yeah.
you, it's also just like luck a lot of it sometimes,
Yeah,
like
I think
timing.
so too. Well, I'll be honest, like whoever gets the judges first, you have a better leg up, you know? Like, I mean, it just is what it is. Like when they come in for the first seating, like, and you can focus on them, it's great. When they come during the second turn, when you still have the first seating there, it's a little difficult. But I think the biggest disconnect for me that I really wish, and actually talking to Tom in Last Chance Kitchen, you know, because he couldn't get over the wait time from
I
when
know
they
the
sat
40
down
minutes.
yeah, and we were not aware of that,
It,
you
you
know.
guys didn't seem like you knew.
We have no idea. And I'm just like for me, that was just like I couldn't believe it, because it's like, where was the communication drop? Because the thing is everything is ready, right? We're just firing, as you know, it's not like we have to like really cook anything. It's just plating at that moment, you know. So yeah, that was the only thing that I would say was a big disconnect for me. But other than that, I mean, it kind of is what it is. You don't get it on day one, you know what I mean? Like
I know.
even the restaurant I'm in right now, like it's crazy, because on opening day we went through friends and family, and we were just focused on doing about 40 covers a night on our opening day. I didn't want to say no to anybody. We did 87 covers in this restaurant,
So
and
double what you were expecting to.
Double. Yeah, because I couldn't say no, and I couldn't say, oh no, you know, because everybody was so excited. You know, this is a small town. It's a new restaurant. People want to dine here. And guess what? We pissed a bunch of people off because we didn't have the systems in place. We didn't have the staff members in place. Like, it was just such a nightmare. And I'll never forget that day. It was like, you know, it's supposed to be the happy, like all this work leading up to this just to screw it up because we didn't have the systems in place. Like, I had my chef de cuisine taking tables, you know, I'm washing dishes. Like, we were like, it was just so difficult. And I remember thinking, like, why did I do that? Like, we should have just said, you know, turn people away, 40 covers, done 40 covers, and then been done with it. And so,
It's all, listen, it's easy to criticize in the hindsight, but
yeah, of
talk
course,
to
yeah.
me about the rice. Like, did you try it and were like, did you catch any of it, what they were talking about, their criticism on it?
Yeah, so that's a great question. And we all tried it, but I'm thinking what happened is they got the bottom of the, you know, like, I'm thinking that, because, you know, obviously when you make, so it's about a 600 pan of rice pudding. And, you know, obviously we're tasting the top, you know, Seeger tasted, Oscar tasted, I tasted, Jonathan tasted. We didn't get that part, but it only takes, I'm assuming it was probably about 10 to 15 portions that probably had that undercooked rice in it.
Oh,
So
God.
I'm assuming it was either like but I mixed it up and everything, but I'm assuming it was either the bottom layer or the sides or the top somewhere. That I accidentally mixed in, or some way, shape, or form. But playing it back, I put the rice on an induction burner, and I should have cooked the rice first, then made the rice pudding. And I didn't do that. And that's how I usually make rice pudding. And so I went against the grain.
Damn,
But I ended up,
literally.
yeah, that's straight up, like, no pun intended. But I, you know, it's funny because I just posted on my social media about like 2 weeks ago of what dish I would do if I were to redo it again, right? And it's like, I'm one of those chefs that, like, yes, I like to think on the fly, but also like I like to research and develop. I like to do iterations of dishes until it's perfect, you know? And so it's funny because I actually was, when I was in LA, I was telling Kristen Kish, like, I was like, no, like, hey, you guys made the right choice. Like, I should have went home. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't matter. Like, at that point, like,
I know.
not cooking rice, whether it's for 5 people or 60 people, it doesn't matter. It is what it is. And listen, that's not the first time I've undercooked rice, and it's not gonna be the last time, right? Like, it's like, you know, yes, I know how to cook rice, but also like there's just so many other variables where you know, if you're eating rice pudding and you know, and you get an undercooked grain or inconsistently cooked grain, it's easy to pick out, right? I mean, it's not. So for me, it's, you know, kind of like a nail in the coffin for me, you know.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, though, a lot of people, I mean, Kristen went home in Restaurant Wars. A lot of good people go home.
Yeah.
So it's just, yeah. I'm curious though, when you and your brother went into the competition, did you talk about in terms of, like, strategy at all? Like, okay, this is when we help each other out. This is like, did you think, like, talk it out?
Yeah, actually, you know, when we went in, the thing is I thought he would be my biggest competition because he knows exactly what type of chef I am. And vice versa. But the thing is I went in completely raw dog. So I didn't record any recipes. I didn't like practice any techniques. I didn't focus on anything like as far as competition cooking. And obviously if I could go back, I would have changed some things. But for me, it was kind of like, I'm not worried about it. Like, let's just have fun, do like let's do our thing. But there was a point in competition where like, he is my baby brother. You know what I'm saying? So like for me, I'm super protective and I also want him to do well. It's just like when people are reaching out, like, I can't believe you didn't make it past your brother. You have such better food than him. I'm like, hey, don't talk about my brother like that. You know what I mean?
I
Like
can
I'm
say
rooting him
something you
on.
can't.
I'm like, don't, yeah, like don't you dare talk about my brother like that. Yeah, because it's like I'm almost more protective, And we didn't really talk about strategy too much, but we did. Like he did ask me some pastry questions and obviously like we talked about challenges after we did them, but for the most part, I mean, we're twins, so like we're like peas and carrots, and the biggest thing that we tried to focus on was putting on a show while we were on TV,
Which you guys did. Did you? I
Yeah,
wanted to know, like, did you watch the Voltaggio brothers, by the way? Did you watch them before their season?
I saw their season. That was like the first time I ever watched Top Chef. But
Oh,
for
okay.
but they didn't put a lot of the edits in there though. You know what I mean? That we had were like, especially like the barbecue challenge, like we were at the judges table for a good 15 minutes bickering,
Oh,
back and
really?
forth. Yes. Yeah. And so it was pretty fun.
Friendly competition. Friendly competition.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I was you said your dream was to open a restaurant together. Where are you at in that? Is that so, is still in the plan?
Well, I wouldn't say that. Just to kind of shoot straight, I would love to do dinners with my brother, but I don't know if I'd want to open a restaurant with him.
Okay, different.
And the only there's only one main reason. It's because my wife and I decided that we would no longer want partners in our restaurants. And
It's
so
tough.
it's tough to have partners in restaurants. And we own our restaurants 100%, and it makes it a lot harder, but it's a lot easier as far as making decisions. And
Fair.
moving the needle forward, and I think it's one of the things that like it's kind of like we have a sealed deal between my wife and I of like, okay, this will be our world, and nobody else is allowed in, and that's just how it's going to be.
I mean, listen, I have siblings. Going to business with my siblings, I don't know about that.
And
Anything you
John and
wish?
Jonathan
Oh, go ahead.
Jonathan and I are we're two different chefs. He has a more like, Caribbean Latin flair, and I'm more like Michelin fine dining background, more methodical, just I went the fine dining route in my career. And so we're two different ends of the spectrum, which kind of makes it really difficult to conceptualize a restaurant, right? And so for me, it's like I would love to do a dinner with him, like a pop-up, but
That'd
I
be
don't think
fun.
oh yeah, that'd be super fun. But I don't think a restaurant would be in our future.
I want to ask, you mentioned the bickering part. Was there anything else from your journey that you remember that you wish we saw more of on the show?
Yes, I really wish they would have saw us, me and my brother fighting,
Was it often?
at the judges table all the time. And I said, hey, because that's when all the cameras are on you. And so I'm like, listen, like just like talk shit, man. Like we have to like put on a show, you know what I mean? And they did get one really good clip, and I'm pretty sure that clip went viral. But like, Kristen, I served Kristen a clove, a whole clove by accident. It was in the. And it was really funny because Jonathan like snarkingly said, minus point, and they put it in there, and it was hilarious. But we did things like that I
All the
wish they would have
time.
got a little bit more in, right? And so like razzing each other during the challenges, I think was a big one. But they edited it very well, and I think for the most part, I would have liked to see more clips of us fighting. But it's.
I also wanted to ask about real quick Last Chance Kitchen. You went straight into Last Chance Kitchen. You got
Yeah.
Rhoda, who's like a formidable competitor. Did you feel confident going to Last Chance Kitchen? I know it was like the last chance, literally the last chance you had to get back in.
Yeah. I mean, I'll be honest. I felt super confident. I'm like, listen, I'm just gonna do whatever it takes. You know what I mean? But like, for me, Rhoda deserves that win. I put everything out on the table. So like, I mean, I fought my hardest, and so there was a little. I think to the conception. The concept of the restaurant is what kind of got me the L. But at the end of the day, it is what it is, right? So it's like I told Rhoda, like, hey, you got that. Like that's there's no I couldn't have done any better. Like that was my max effort. Like making pasta making pasta and a quail raviolo from 13 minutes left on the clock. I
Insane.
mean, there's no like, I mean, I served the dish while the pasta machine was still running. You know what I mean? Like
God.
flour on my face. And so I was like, you know, listen, you get you that's you know, that's that has nothing, that's everything to do with Tom, and like he chose you and that's it. Like you should feel proud of it, proud about that, because I put up a good fight.
Yeah.
But I will admit, like, people are reaching out, and like I just people like talking crap, man. They're like, you know, it's not fair. Seager didn't go against Rhoda, and who else? Jen, and
Oh
they, you
yeah, a
know,
lot of people
they
on
didn't.
set. Yeah.
Like I'm like, oh my God, you guys are like it
It's
doesn't
not
matter.
that
Like, who
deep.
cares? Yeah, it's not. It's really not. And so, you know, and I try to tell people, like, Seeger is the nicest guy on the planet. He is such a good person. Like, it's like I know, like, ever since the barbecue challenge, his persona kind of got, you know, skewed, I would say. You know
Okay,
what I'm
I was
saying? So
wondering
we're,
that if people were giving him a little bit of, yeah,
yeah,
okay.
and they just don't think, because he was eliminated and then came back, and like they thought he should have been eliminated, and like there's this whole like kind of like under. Like, I don't even know how to explain it, but there's this whole like underground Reddit Top Chef
Oh, I'm
deal. And
sure.
because like I have a little bit of a social media, they, you know, they like feel free to DM me all the time. You know what I mean? And like, well, what's your take on this? And what do you think about this? And I'm like, dude, I don't know. We filmed this last year, brother. Like,
I barely know what's going on now.
yeah. And I'm like, you know, and it's funny because like I think Seeger is such a great chef and such a great person. And like he is such a good, like, the way that he is a little bit portrayed online, I understand. And it's because he doesn't have a voice. He doesn't go on social media. He doesn't have a voice to kind of like,
Yeah.
like express himself in these challenges. But I promise Seeger is a he it's worth it. He's everybody on the show is worth it. They're all good
Yeah.
people. Like, everybody's good people. So I don't like it when people badmouth other people, because it's like a lot of people, and I'm not speaking for all of the chef contestants, but like for me at least, I have no value in your opinion unless you were going toe to toe with me on that competition floor. Like, I'm
Yeah.
sorry, but that's just the way it is. Like, unless you are one of the chef contestants, like your feedback is just like, I mean, I push it to the side, dirt over the shoulders, you know? So it's like, especially in the chef world, oh, I would have done this and I would have done this. Yeah. Would
Easy
you,
to
Billy?
say.
Yeah.
So easy to say on our couch. We're not chefs, right?
Yeah.
We're pretending like we know because we watched Top Chef for 20
Yeah,
years,
yeah.
but
And it's like, I'm telling you, like when we're, because my kids, it's really funny. Like my kids, like they not only see me on social media, but they also see me cook in a restaurant for real, because like they are at the restaurant. And so when they see me on TV running around, sweating and like frantically looking for, they're like, Daddy, why are you sweating? What are you running around for? Like, I don't understand. I'm like, because, man, we don't know where anything's at. Like, we have to
Right.
cons like the clock starts, you start, you don't have time to develop a menu. You're just grabbing your basic needs, like mixing bowl. And it's funny because my oldest is like, that just seems like so much rage bait. I can't even like wrap my head around it.
Yeah. Well,
Yeah. And
that's
so,
correct. Well,
yeah.
Brandon, I won't keep you all day here, but do
No
you have
worries.
another run in you? Are you interested in running it back on Top Chef at some point if they ask you?
Oh yeah. Oh, for sure. I would
Okay.
listen, hands down. I told, you know, I'm getting chills just thinking about it, because my brother is, he loves it. He loves the competition cooking. For me, I never went that route, right? I applied for Top
Okay.
Chef back in like 2013, and I made it to the final casting and then didn't make the show. And I'm like, okay, cool. You know, it's fine. But now that I have my own businesses and I have my own brand, you know, for me, I knew the exposure would be just worth
Yep.
it. And so when casting reached out, and true story, when casting reached out, Senna, I love her. She's so nice. She's like, hey, would you ever be interested on Top Chef? And I'm like, you know, and at first I just, you know, obviously I didn't read the deal. I was just like, you know, whatever. But then I realized, like, oh my God, it'd be so cool if me and my brother went on the show, you know? And
Yeah.
so I was like, hey, I have a twin brother who's also a chef, you know? And like, that's how we started it. And so just the exposure alone has driven so much revenue to my restaurant that I am forever grateful. Like, and I try to tell people, you have to be at a top level to be even considered for
Yeah.
the show. And so I have nothing but gratitude, and absolutely, I would do it again, hand over fist. The commitment's a little long, but you know, it's worth it. It's just like being away from family for 6 to 8 weeks is tough.